Open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. This is a very familiar section to most of you, if not all. But I wanted to take some time with this in light of some of the things that we looked at last week. Last week we looked at some things in Hebrews 10. But if you remember last week, I had mentioned that the section that we started reading in actually begins back in chapter 8. And we're not going to go all the way back there. But it concerns Jesus Christ being the high priest. And keeping in mind who Hebrews is written to is also very important. It is written to those who had a Hebrew background. They understood the law. And remember, we considered a little bit of that. The law was their whole identity. It was everything. It was their culture. It was their way to God. It was their righteousness. And here, that law, in one way, is sort of being pulled right out from under them. Because Jesus Christ was the one that was promised. Jesus Christ was the one that was looked forward to. And it was Jesus Christ who was made high priest once and for all. The once and for all sacrifice for all of men. Then it goes on in Hebrews 10. And these saints were being encouraged to stand. They were to endure whatever their current situation was. It doesn't get specific, but the temptation for these saints was to go back to law and to shrink away from the truth, which is Jesus Christ. And so, and that's how that section ends in chapter 10, with them being encouraged to stand. Don't shrink away. But then you remember that phrase we looked at, purchase your lives? I think in King James it's save your souls. But it means to purchase your lives. See? And really the essence of that, of what it means is that don't shrink away from that grace that was brought to you by Jesus Christ and waste your life. Understanding that, we now go to Hebrews chapter 11. And what we're going to see is we're going to see example after example after example of men and women who stood looking to God regardless of what was going on in their lives at the time. Another thing I mentioned last week is that this is sort of big picture believing. This is that believing on Jesus Christ. Believing that God is faithful. That he is who he says he is. Okay? And that he's going to fulfill everything that he said he's going to fulfill. Everything promised. And we have example after example after example after example in God's word of his faithfulness. Sometimes what we tend to do with faith or believing, we kind of, you know, bring it in, you know, am I believing God right now? Am I believing God right now? And that's not what this is discussing. These are men and women who their whole lives stood. And I want you to notice something as we read through this, and I'm going to point it out a little bit. The circumstances, or the varied circumstances, are amazing. You know, we're going to hear from the first murderer. We're going to look at an example of a man who got protected from murder. We're going to look at men who were delivered. We're going to look at men and women who refused deliverance. It's really remarkable. But in all of it, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the life, it's God who is faithful. And every one of them, what we're going to see is, every one of these people, God deemed the world not worthy of any of them. See? And then when we close this chapter out, what we're going to see is that they and their hope and what they look forward to isn't complete without us. Isn't that something? Because as we read here and see this stuff, what we're seeing is what God is doing. And he began doing what he's doing all the way back in Genesis 3:15, which was to bring to pass the Christ. These men and women we're reading about look forward to it. You and I look back. See? But we're all going to end up in the same place. And we'll consider that briefly too. Okay? So, let's start in verse 1 of Hebrews 11. It says, now, believing is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is it's more of a description of believing than a definition. It is describing what believing is and what it looks like. And we're going to see more of that as we go. But it is the surety of something that is not seen. Okay? And I want you to keep in mind as we read, the reason why believing is the surety, the guarantee of something not seen, is because it is based on what is spoken by God. That's how this works. I'm not talking about other things we may believe or other things we may come up with and believe. We believe a lot of different things in this room, I'm sure. I don't care about any of that. We're talking about God's word, what God says, what God has promised. See? And you got to keep that in mind as we read here. So, believing is the substance, the surety, the guarantee of things hoped for, the evidence or the proof of things not seen. For by it, by believing, the elders obtained a good report. And this is referring to the report or the witness from God for that believing. And again, very different circumstances. Through believing, we understand that the ages were framed or prepared by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear, or are not made of things which are visible. God spoke these things into being. You know, Ephesians 1:10 talks about God's purpose of the ages, and that he would bring all things together in one, in who? That's the end of this thing. Hebrews opens with that, how that Jesus Christ was God's plan for the ages. Right? And we're going back a little bit and looking at examples at God's bringing this to pass. It's sort of neat. All right. Chase sounds pretty happy over there. Verse 4, by believing, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, in which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. We know very little about Abel. He was the second son born to Adam and Eve. He was murdered. His older brother Cain was the first murderer. Okay? What we do know is that the sacrifice that he offered, and I'm not going to go into all the detail, but it was done by believing. In other words, it was based on God's word. It was a pointing toward God's plan. It was a pointing toward the Christ, unlike Cain's. And that's what we know about Abel. And to this day, he speaks. Isn't that something? Verse 5. By believing, Enoch was translated or transferred that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Okay, and I do want to take a minute with this, because we're going to read here in just not too many verses, these all died in faith. They all died in believing. Enoch was Noah's grandfather. And by that time, the world had progressed and was at some point in its progression toward, and if you can imagine, every thought of man being only evil continually. Can you imagine that? Every thought, without a break. Evil continually. Okay? Now, when you read about Enoch, it doesn't say much about him in the Old Testament. This is what it says. Enoch walked with God. In the middle of this stuff. After he begat Methuselah 300 years. He begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. He was a relatively young man when he died. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Okay. So understanding the environment that Enoch lived in, I'm just going to read you a couple of few verses from Jude. Okay? This is the kind of stuff that came out of Enoch's mouth. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Strangers, pilgrims. Isn't that something? He had a message from God. And the gist of it was, guys, there's some serious judgment coming. You really need to get it together. They didn't listen, obviously, because the time came for Noah. This translated or transported, or this he was not. Enoch would have not have been a very popular man. The word see means to perceive with the senses, to consider. And I believe that what this is referring to is that Enoch was protected from the murder that would have otherwise happened because of the times in which he lived. He didn't see it coming. He didn't. Isn't that something? It's kind of neat because we have this immense range of circumstance. We've got Abel, the first one murdered, and then we've got Enoch, who walked with God, who was protected from being murdered. And yet both did what? Believe God. That's something. A little learning there. Verse 6, now, should read, without believing it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Those who diligently seek God will be found. God will reveal to those who seek him. You know, when this is all said and done, Jesus Christ says in the Gospel of John, this is eternal life. And what he's talking about is its purpose. This is eternal life. To know God and to know his Son, Jesus Christ. But we have the opportunity to not know God like we will at that time. See? But we can walk with him. We can grow with him. And he will reveal his goodness, his grace, his love, his forgiveness. How many times have you blown it and he still shows you grace? Yeah, you see, he's revealing himself. Or you've gone to him in prayer, or you've gone to a situation, and man, he just did what he does. See? And then that builds that knowledge, that appreciation, that love for your Heavenly Father. That's a pretty good reward, isn't it? You know, the peace that comes with that, the joy that comes with that, the surety that comes with that, regardless of what's going to happen, regardless of what things may look like, all those things are wrapped up in God revealing himself. It's just so awesome. Then it says, by believing, verse 7, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear or reverence, prepared an ark to the saving or the deliverance of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by believing. Great study in God's word. Noah, an incredible man. And his circumstances, he was surrounded with great evil, great wickedness. He was mocked for walking out on what God had him do. Verse 8, now we considered this over the past few weeks, looking back at some things in Genesis. By believing Abraham when he was called to go out into a place which he should after for an inheritance, receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Now there's a circumstance. You don't have a clue. You don't know where this is going to land. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what this is going to look like. And yet he obeyed. By believing, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For, here's why, reasons given, he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is who?
God.
That's where Abraham was set. And then it goes on to talk about this further. Through believing also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. King James has, was delivered of a child when she was past age. And because she judged him faithful who had promised, there sprang even of one, of him as good as dead, talking about Abraham, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. You know, in here we have really the effect of believing, or believing based on what God has said, the effect of looking to God. we could spend a lot of time with this. But that seed, you know, all who believe on Jesus Christ are called the seed of Abraham. So it's not just the physical descendants, but it's all who have believed on Jesus Christ. See? It's amazing, the effect. You know, a life that is based on God, a life that is ordered in light of the hope, you have no idea of its effect. Over the years, it has amazed me when I talk to saints. You know, I hear about their relatives or their grandma or their grandpa and how they were a believer. You have no idea how their prayer affected you. See, these things, we're not going to know, you know, until that day, but these things are real. This is what's real. You know? God is the most real thing there is. You know, the Word of God, at no point, nowhere, does it set out to prove that there's a God. It is simply the Word of God. Period. He is. You follow? It's really beautiful. See? Well, we better get going here. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They saw them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek or are seeking a country or a homeland. See? You know, earlier we read that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. See, that was really part of the hope, that the Messiah, the Christ, was something they looked forward to. We'll see that a little bit more as we go. But they looked for a homeland. They were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. And that's what they confessed. That's how they lived. Isn't that something? There is a freedom in that. You know, because this world isn't our home. It's just not. It wants to be. And it wants you to conform. It wants you to put all your stakes in this thing. And it does it through pleasure, it does it through pressure, it does it through any number of ways. But what we're looking at, and what these Hebrews in this section that we're reading were being encouraged to do, is you just keep standing. You keep looking at God. You keep your eyes on the hope. You keep confessing who you are, even when it doesn't feel like it sometimes, because sometimes it won't. Sometimes it's going to seem like life isn't fair. Sometimes it's going to seem like God isn't fair. He's fair. We'll see. More than fair. It's called grace. Right? See. But you just continue, and that's what these saints were being encouraged to do. And truly, verse 15, and this is such a great key. If they had been mindful of or had feelings for that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By believing Abraham when he was tried, or proved, offered up Isaac. We read this a few weeks ago. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. The promise is that the Messiah, the Christ, would come out of Isaac, would descend from Isaac. That Redeemer. So, thus it reads then in verse 19, accounting, he put this thing together. Well, the Messiah is coming out of Isaac. He just told me to sacrifice him. I guess he's able to raise him from the dead. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure or a parable. You know, and I think I pointed out when we read through that record how that it was that Abraham was told to offer his son Isaac, and it took him 3 days and three nights to get there. So for 3 days and three nights, Isaac was as good as dead. And then God said, sit that angel, stop! And he received his son back from the dead after how long?
3 days.
That's right. Do you ever hear such a thing? By believing Isaac, blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. That's a remarkable record to spend some time with. You know, Jacob and Esau. But that blessing that these patriarchs, those things were by revelation. And some people, you know, you read that record and Jacob, well, he thought he was blessing Esau. He couldn't take it back because it was by what?
Revelation.
It was by revelation. It was fulfilling something God had said much earlier. You know, regarding Jacob. Jacob is the one that became Israel. Then you have near the end of Jacob's life, he blessed the sons of Joseph. And he was blind and he was dying. And Joseph brought his eldest son so that Jacob's hand, the right hand, would be on his head because that was the hand of honor. And his younger son so that the left hand would be on the younger son. Like this. You know what Jacob did? He was blind. He was blind. He went like this. And Joseph said, no. He tried to move his hand. Jacob said, no. By believing. And the revelation on those two sons, that's exactly what it was. And it was all fulfilled. You can read about it in Joshua. You go back to these records and you learn about your dad. It's like he just has done some of the most cool stuff. And there's a lot more coming. All right. Verse 22. By believing Joseph when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. You can read about that in Genesis 50. It says that when Joseph died, he was 110, I think, something like that. They embalmed him and placed him in a coffin. He had instructed the children of Israel. He said, the day's coming when you're going to be led out of Egypt. Take my bones with you and bury them in the land of my fathers. His coffin remained there for 400 years. It wasn't buried. And Moses, when he led the children out, way later, told them, go get the bones. And they got Joseph's coffin. And they took it with them when they marched out of Egypt. Isn't that something? By believing Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By believing Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Look at these different circumstances. The parents were under orders from the state, from the government. You are to kill your male children. Says they weren't afraid. Why? Because they were looking at God. They were believing. Do you understand? Well, now you got Pharaoh, or Moses, raising Pharaoh's house. He's got the richest country in the world. He's got all this stuff. He didn't care about that. They didn't care about the king's commandment. He didn't care about the riches. See, all these different circumstances. The one thread. They looked at God. See? Choosing, verse 25, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming, you know, he considered, he judged the reproach or the insult for Christ's coming or of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By believing he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's an amazing verse. He had killed an Egyptian, and the Pharaoh wanted him dead, and he fled Egypt. But he didn't flee out of fear of the king. That's not why he fled. He fled as seeing him who is invisible. The time wasn't yet. It would be another 40 years before God would send him back to deliver Israel. Amazing records. By believing, or through believing, faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By believing, by faith, or believing, they passed through the Red Sea as by the dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. There's a difference. By believing, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By believing, King James reads the harlot Rahab. I don't want to get into it. It doesn't matter. But perish not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab was the one that recognized that these were the children of the true God, and that the fear of that God had come on all the people, so she decided to go with them. What more shall I say? What more shall I say, verse 32, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David also, and Samuel, and other prophets, who through believing subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Daniel shut the lion's mouth. So did Samson. I wrote a few of these down. Just such great records. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego escaped a fiery death, quenched the power of fire. Jephthah, David, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, and others avoided execution, escaped the edge of the sword. And there were others. Gideon, Samson, David, and Esther are all great examples of people who were weak but became strong. See, you just go back and you read those records. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. You know, these things go on today, where people are persecuted or imprisoned or killed because they believe on Jesus Christ. You know, you and I we're not real exposed to that. I mean, you know, there's a certain persecution that takes place against Christians and Christianity in this country. I understand that. But it's nothing like other parts of the world. Isn't that something? So, I'm thrown in prison because I confess Jesus as my Lord? Or, I don't know, I get to live like this. We get to get together in a nice house with heat. Right? Very different circumstances. But when it's all said and done, we want to believe who? We want to believe our God. See? Because those that are thrown in prison and those that get to sit in a warm house for whatever reason, we're all going to end up in the same place. And none of this is going to matter. It's just not going to matter. At the time, it seems hard. At the time, you know. But when it's all said and done, it's not going to matter. They were stoned, verse 37. Or verse 36. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Isn't that something? They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through believing, received not the promise. They looked forward to the Christ. They looked forward to the Messiah. They saw it afar off. They saw the deliverance, but they didn't receive it. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Isn't that a remarkable verse? They look forward to the Christ. We, with whom they should not be perfect, are those who have believed on the Christ also. Isn't that something? And all of this is, it's sort of a big picture view of what God has been doing and is doing. And then I want to close with just these couple verses in Hebrews 12. Okay. Well, therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight or impediment, and the sin or the entangling sin, which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Every one of us has a race set before us. And in light of this big picture, where this is all going to land, and then the example of these men and women and all the different circumstances that they lived through, stood through, continued to believe God through, let us run with patience the race, regardless of the circumstances we may or may not face. We live in a world that has fallen, but we have the Spirit of God, and we have the hope. Isn't that something? You know, it's just amazing what we have to be thankful for. And it is amazing how easy it is to get talked out of that by the world, by the circumstances, or comparing yourself to somebody else. Right? So we run with patience with this big picture in mind, you know. Now, in light of that, and then you look at the example, these men and women, you know, maybe I am willing to set aside the things that are holding me back. You know? Maybe I'm ready to kind of really start moving out on this stuff. You know, really start to arrange my life in light of that hope. Where that hope is the bigger deal than anything. Verse 2, here's how we do it. Looking unto Jesus, the author, or the beginner, and the finisher, or the completer of our believing. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising or disregarding the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. Think about that. Contemplate that. That endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. See? That's something. You know, Jesus Christ deserved nothing in terms of the evil that he had to endure and the injustice he had to endure. There's not a one of us in this room can say the same thing. So you and I will never endure that contradiction that he endured. And yet, it says, he disregarded the shame. You know, the horrible things that they did to him, the torture he went through, beaten more than any man. He wasn't even recognizable as a man. But he kept his eyes on that hope. And to his last breath, it's finished. And he was dead for 3 days and three nights. And he had to die knowing that God will fulfill what he said he'd do. Pretty remarkable. Consider that. Because he's the one that's coming back for you. Right? That's good news. So. All right, amen. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for how you've set some of these great truths. And that we have the opportunity, Father, to walk this stuff, to help one another to walk this stuff. And I pray, Father, that should the Lord tarry, that we can continue to grow in our understanding and our appreciation of the great grace and forgiveness that you've demonstrated to us. And that, Father, we can in kind demonstrate that same grace, that same forgiveness to others. Thank you, Father, for this great hope that you've set before us. And for the great rejoicing and thankfulness that is ours because of your faithfulness. Thank you, Father, for these things in the name of our Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay.